At the beginning, quote, at the beginning of the principal section of his famous essay, The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism, Max Weber asked, quote, now how could an activity which was at best ethically tolerated turn into a calling in the sense of Benjamin Franklin, unquote. In other words, says Albert O. Hirschman, how did commercial banking and similar money-making pursuits become honorable at some point in the modern age after having stood condemned or despised as greed, love of lucre, and avarice for centuries past? The idea of an opposition between interests and passions made its first appearance, to my knowledge, with the previously noted work of Rohan, which is wholly concerned with rulers and statesmen. In subsequent decades, the dichotomy was discussed by a number of English and French writers who applied it to human conduct in general. The infatuation with interest as a key to the understanding of human action, and of course we know this is underclass, right, carried over into the 18th century when Helvetius, in spite of his exaltation of the passions, proclaimed, quote, as the physical world is ruled by the laws of movement, so is the moral universe ruled by laws of interest. And again, by interest, we're talking about accumulating wealth. Continuing, as happens frequently with concepts that are suddenly thrust to the center of the stage, class, elite, economic development, to name some of the more recent examples, interest appeared so self-evident a notion that nobody bothered to define it precisely. Nor did anyone explain the place it occupied in relation to the two categories that had dominated the analysis of human motivation since Plato, namely the passions on the one hand, that's the power guys tearing themselves to shreds, and reason on the other, that's Plato and his fellow philosophers thinking that, you know, they had to find a way to stop these guys from killing each other. But it is precisely against the background of this traditional dichotomy, and again, this is a traditional dichotomy within power itself. I guess you could say the shepherds and the sheepdogs, or the philosopher kings and the shepherds, or something like that. Within this tradition, but it is precisely against the background of this traditional dichotomy that the emergence of a third category in the late 16th and early 17th century can be understood. Once passion was deemed destructive and reason ineffectual, and brief comment, Plato believed it to be ineffectual. We've said this before, I reiterate. Because of the problem of imperialism, of folk coming in who would undermine the hard work of conditioning the citizens and the slaves, quote unquote, the captives, to accept their class, the position, their rank. That's why Plato believed, we've learned, thank you, Karl Popper, believed that reason alone, the philosopher king would never get to be king for this reason. And so reason ineffectual. If one was destructive, the other ineffectual. Once passion was deemed destructive and reason ineffectual, the view that human action could be exhaustively described by attribution to either one or the other meant an exceedingly somber outlook for humanity. And again, if we're just along for the ride until now. About time we claimed our power and started making decisions, because Lord knows they've driven us into some deep, contaminated places that we need to clean up. an exceedingly somber outlook for humanity. A message of hope was therefore conveyed by the wedging of interest in between the two traditional categories of human motivation. Interest was seen to partake, in effect, of the better nature of each, as the passion of self-love, and again, that's giving yourself permission to accumulate, upgraded and contained by reason, and that's how the power guys see themselves, is they accumulate, but it is contained by reason. They are the ones who know what to do with it and can therefore create the best world for it, a world defined by reason, because it's defined by them. And who? What are they? They are reason personified, embodied. We should just lay back and think of England or something. No, actually. And then continuing, reason given direction and force by that passion of endless accumulation. The resulting hybrid form of human action was considered exempt from both the destructiveness of passion, not so much, and the ineffectuality of reason. No wonder that the doctrine of interest was received at the time as a veritable message of salvation. And that's unquote from that section of the passions and the interests. And we're going to be skipping over the Millar quote because I started it and realized to do it justice, I would have had to include a whole lot more and change the topic, and didn't want to do any of that. So skip, skip, skip ahead.